Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Continue in verse 11 again this week. And for another class yet, we'll talk about verse 11. And we talked about apostles and prophets and evangelists the last few weeks. And one thing that we've emphasized there, and as well as we'll emphasize today too, is that these, if you want to call them, they're not offices as much as they are works. And so it's a work of an apostle or a work of an evangelist. It's not an office or a title necessarily to be held, even though someone who does the work is that. But that's not the emphasis that Paul has given here. He's not setting up like an office where it's entitled only. Okay, these people are there's evangelist is an evangelist because he does the work, because he starts off with that. And the same thing with an apostle or a prophet. And obviously there are guys who are called and God calls those who to do certain things. But that's not because it's just a title. It's because of the work that they do. And the same thing is true with the next one today. Someone want to go ahead and just read verse 11 again of Ephesians 4.
Okay, some of us apostles, and some of prophets, and some of evangelists, and some of pastors and teachers.
Okay, so we're going to talk about pastors today. And the Greek word for pastor means a shepherd, and it's translated 18 times. It's used 18 times in the New Testament. 17 times it's translated a shepherd or shepherds. Okay, and this is the only time here that is translated pastor. We'll get to that in a second. But it's used when it talking about Jesus. It's the same word when it talks about in Luke 2, where the shepherds were in the field when Jesus was born, and they came and they saw him. It's never used, though, as talking about a preacher. And we see a lot of times that's what the world today, that the guy who preaches at the local congregation is the pastor, is what they'll use. And this is where, there's a lot of easy misconceptions that the world, that the religious marketplace has, that would be easily understood if they would look at it. And this is very easy to understand. But you can see how something so easy and so little just continue to go and go and go, how it will expand out into a huge doctrine. And I was just reminded, just as I was talking, we've been kind of on, Ronica's kind of on a Chronicles of Narnia kick, and so we've been watching some of the couple movies. And what's that? Yeah, I know, yeah. We have the audio books and stuff. But anyway, so in Prince Caspian, the movie, and I'm sure not most of you have not read any of the books and know what I'm talking about. But the kings and queens have been gone for a while, and this country called Narnia has been overtaken by a country called Talmar. And they in this fantasy land, C.S. Lewis wrote the books, they had some... talking, the animals would talk. That's how they would talk. They would communicate, whatever. And in the Prince Caspian, there was this bear that this one queen returned, she thought it would talk, but yeah, he was a wild bear, and he was in a trying to eat her, and she couldn't understand why, because they used to talk to him all the time. And so one of the comments that the dwarf made is that, well, when you treat like a dumb animal long enough, that's what you become. And when you use a word like pastor, like when it's been used that long, it's subconscious now. That people, well, pastor is the guy who preaches at the local congregation. And the understanding of what a pastor is flawed, and really it shouldn't even be translated pastor. Because we have it 17 other times it's translated, and that's what the word means, is a shepherd. But it doesn't even mean pastor. But it's translated pastor for a reason, because of a bias. And my thought is because when the beloved Martin Luther, if you want to call him beloved, when you're separating from Catholicism and it, you don't want to be the priest, well, now you got to have another word for the guy that's up front, and pastor just comes along. Okay, that's because there's no logical reason for it to be translated pastor, because you don't have it written anywhere else in the scripture. And so when you don't have qualifications, as we'll talk about qualifications for elders and works of elders, and we talk about works of evangelists and works of apostles and works of prophets, when you don't have qualifications or examples or works for a certain word, then it can be whatever you want it to be. And so when the word pastor is there, the term, the qualifications for a pastor, the qualification, the works for a pastor is whatever someone wants it to be, because there's nothing else written about it in the Bible. Even though they might apply other things to it, they'll apply what Timothy does or Titus does to what a pastor will do, which is, again, wrong, because the pastor, as we'll see today, is not the guy who preaches. I'm not saying they can't preach, but he's not what people will say as a preacher. Okay, they'll use preacher or pastor, and people will say, "Well, they've called me a pastor before when I've talked to them. Well, you're a pastor when you say what you do," and that's not what, because that's because of the flawed thinking that is in the religious marketplace, and that's not what I do. And we'll see what in the qualifications today, that's not what Kyle, Brandon, or I are. Because of some of the qualifications for what elders are. So really this word should be, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as shepherds, and some as teachers. That's how it should be written. Okay? And so when we look at that then, let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. So understand it, we're talking about shepherds here. 1 Peter 5. Someone read verse 1 through 3, please.
Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elders and witnesses of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but for eagerness, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfaded crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. All you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Okay, so we see in verse 1, also we'll see verse 2. So the word says shepherd the flock of God. Now that Greek word for shepherd isn't the same, exact same Greek word as we have in Ephesians chapter 4. But this Greek word here comes from the Greek word. So they're related, they're a family. It's like saying, this word means acting as a shepherd. The other word means a shepherd. Okay, so it's the same thing. It's kind of like when you use, if you would use take or taking or have taken, like they're different forms of the word, but they generally mean they're related. Okay, and so when he's saying here, this word means, this word for shepherd here is acting as a shepherd. Okay, he's talking to shepherds is what he's saying then. So act as a shepherd, act as oversight, exercising oversight over the flock of God. But notice in verse 1, he says, I exhort to the elders as your fellow elder. So he's connecting there, an elder and a shepherd are the same. It's just a different name given. Now again, these aren't titles, because if they're titles, then that's probably similar to what the confusion comes from, because people have these titles, title only, I guess you should say. Because, an elder is not the same thing as a shepherd, or a preacher is different. And I understand that there's different works there. But if you look at what does an elder do, obviously in the word elder is an older man. But he is exercising, he's shepherding. he's acting, he's shepherding over, exercising oversight, he's shepherding the flock of God. And so it's the work that's emphasized here, not the title. And so when we're looking at the work that he's doing there, he's an elder, as Peter was an elder. He's saying, shepherd the flock of God with oversight. And we'll get into the work a little bit later, but we know that shepherds and elders are the same. It's just a, maybe you could say a name given to, a little different name for each. Two names that talk about the same work that's being done, okay? But it gives information where just having a shepherd, you know, people obviously, well, a shepherd's younger, they could say. Well, this shepherd here we're talking about, that God is talking about here, is someone who is older as an elder. Okay, so we have some more information there. Now let's turn over to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and we see, shepherds here as well. But we see elders early on. We won't read it, but in verse 17, as we're going by here, we're going to be in verse 28, but verse 17, Paul is talking to the elders here in Ephesus. And so he says in verse 28, so I want to read that, please, of Acts chapter 20.
Be on your guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
Okay, so Paul talking to the elders here is saying, be on guard for the flock. As the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd. Okay, so that word for shepherd there is the act of shepherding. But they're overseers, so it's another name given to an elder or a shepherd. Okay, so a shepherd, an elder, or an overseer are interchangeable names for a person who does the work of shepherding the flock with a group of men in a local congregation. Okay, and we'll get to that a little bit later too, that as we'll notice as we go through all this, there's at least two. It's always plural when you're talking about elders or shepherds. Okay, it's never the elder, and that's what the word has also been changed to when you talk about pastor, and it's really a name now. They say pastor so and so or pastor's talking now. Well, I thought his name was Dan. Okay, I thought his name was Phil. Call him by his name, but the pastor has become a name. It's become a title. That's who they are now. And that's what the world has done. And so they've emphasized that, and they've always had it singular. Okay, a pastor has been singular. There's not multiple. I mean, there might be there's a senior pastor and the associate pastor and the music pastor, whatever, when you get to a lot bigger congregations. But when you have smaller congregations, there is the guy. And so when you see, when we look at the biblical example, we don't have a singular. We have plural, at least two. And so we have elder, shepherd, or overseer, as we are going to see here. We're talking about this, that Paul says he gave some as apostles, some as evangelists, or some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as shepherds. So we turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1.
Go ahead. And I think when you're explaining something, a lot of times you use different adjectives, you know.
Right.
And here they're using different nouns, because the word for elder is a different Greek word, the word for overseer is a different Greek word, and the word for a shepherd is a different Greek word. So, when we're talking in English, we'll describe some of the, and I think that's what God's trying to portray to us here, is the different, you know, there's different, overseer means a little different than shepherd, and elder means a little different than, you know, than the other.
You're getting part of the work that he's doing.
Yeah. But he's interchanging them and showing that's, in this passage.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, he's used all three of them in that, So when we see the word shepherd, or we see the word overseer, or we see the word elder, then we know it's referring to the same work. Okay? And so in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we have an example of how Paul is describing those who are to be overseers or shepherds or elders here, and what some of the things are. So we turn in 1 Peter chapter 3 to start in verse 1. Just read verse 1 for you now. Okay, so we have this here that this person or plural that Paul is describing here, that someone who wants to aspire to do this, and we'll get into the qualifications in a second here, but he's talking about overseer here, which would be the same as a shepherd, the same as an elder. And so he's going to describe here in the next few verses here of how this fits. Okay, who are these people? So when we have pastor, you don't have any qualifications for it because it's not written about anywhere else. And especially when you use it in a way that it's not correct, because most, as in 99.9% of the religious marketplace uses the word pastor incorrectly. Okay, and it's really simple to know. But we'll see here in a second why they use it incorrectly, because they use it for the preacher. But we're going to see here that, first off, he aspires to do it if he desires to do it. The elder, the overseer, has to desire to do it in verse 1. But we see in verse 2 through 7, so I want to read that there, and we see some more of the qualifications for an elder. Yes, please. Yes, please.
Make it sure. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, responsible, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine, or pugnacious, but gentle, uncontentious, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household,
okay, so we see a pretty good list here, and we're not going to go into detail on all of them. We're going to on some, but some of the ones that we kind of brush by, and I'm not trying to just brush by them again. But we, you know, obviously the overseer, some details there. I mean, it doesn't take a lot to figure it out. But an overseer has to be a husband, so that eliminates a woman. Okay, eliminates a woman from being an overseer. So it'd be a husband. And as we'll see in Titus, a husband of one wife, it even says here, I guess, husband of one wife, temperate. Now, that word temperate doesn't necessarily mean, like, good-tempered. That word temperate actually means someone who looks out and is vigilant. And vigilant means it's like someone who goes and attacks. So we think of a shepherd. Obviously, this fits with this here, because if he is a shepherd, if he is an overseer, an elder, the shepherd doesn't just go push the flock into the brushes because the wolves are in the brushes. The shepherd has to go first to get the wolves out of the brush so he can push the flock through. Okay, so they're vigilant and they attack, if you will. That's what they're supposed to do. And we'll see a little bit later in the work as we will go through that it's not always easy. But be hospitable, able to teach. And that's where, I mean, an elder could be a preacher too. Now, just because an elder can be a preacher does not automatically mean that, we can call the guy a pastor. That's not what it's saying there. An elder should be able to teach and should be preaching. All of us should be preaching, but they definitely should be able to teach because of as we'll see in Titus there, and even maybe a little bit here, but you have to be able to be vigilant, spiritually speaking, and attack wickedness. That's what they're doing with the word. But they're not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, but gentle, uncontentious. Now, uncontentious doesn't necessarily mean that they don't put up a fight. Okay, what that is talking about is that they just aren't someone who is just specifically just causing problems. That's what it's talking about there. An elder has to be able to battle. All of us have to be able to battle. So when we see the word uncontentious, it's not just this one guy, it's not just a picture of this guy who kind of lets everything slide so he can get along. That's not what the picture is. He's not someone who just starts fights over peddly things and things that don't matter. That's what it's talking about. He is a guy who definitely is contentious, if you want to use the word, when it comes to right and wrong. Okay, that should be, and that goes along with able to teach and so on. But another one, obviously free from the love of money, but in verse 4, it talks about one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? Now here's another one. This is where you have a lot of falseness in the religious world of who the elder is. Now this, it's translated kind of poor. You can get the idea if you look at Titus, but when you look at verse 4, one who has his children under control with all dignity, that Greek word is not translated very well. And I should just get here just so I can make sure I'm saying exactly the right way here. That Greek word, is the same Greek word for submission. Now, when you look at that, and we kind of talked a little bit about this a few weeks ago when Brandon talked in Hebrews chapter 13, when he talks about the leaders and obeying your leaders and so on, and who is the one that, who are you obeying? Are you obeying the leaders or obeying God? Now, what this word means is submission, but the word for dignity means in seriousness. So putting this together, he is actually talking one who has his children submissive to God in seriousness is what he's trying to communicate here. Okay, and so if you're looking at that, it's not someone who is forcing his kids to be obedient and sit there in the pew quiet when they're 8. This is someone who has been past that, who their children are now submissive to God in seriousness. They're not just this random, oh yeah, I believe in God. They're serious about it because of how they've trained them up. So this is not talking about someone who is younger. Again, fits with the word elder, again. It's someone who is older, who has children, who can be serious in their submissiveness to God. Okay? Because my children are here because I'm driving them here. They're not serious. I mean, they could be. They're getting trained, but they're not. They're not able to stand on their own to make the conscious effort to come here right now. Okay, that's not this picture here. This is past that. This is someone who has had their children, who is in, and it's not, they're not like under their thumb. That's not what it's talking about. His children is submissive to God in seriousness is what he's talking about. And Titus backs it up when we talk about believing children, because when you put the two together, you get the whole picture. But we'll get to Titus in a second here. The last one there, or last one point I want to make in verse 6 is not a new convert. And that Greek word is like not a novice, not someone who is just newly planted is what the Greek word means. Okay? So that's used a lot. We use plants or trees. Jared talked about trees this morning, you know, the idea of the tree being planted. We refer to it as olive trees at times as individuals or olive branches. But it's not someone who's just a new convert. Because they're not trained spiritually, they don't understand some of the snares it talks about there. Actually, a little later, having a good reputation outside of the church, they don't fall into the snare of the devil. But they don't want non new convert to be conceited, and they fall into condemnation incurred by the devil. So there's some problems with someone who is young in Christ of being an elder because they aren't spiritually mature. And so those are some things there. Some I know we could go into a lot more detail, and it's important when we're looking at an elder or elders to do that. But as we're kind of brushing by, we see that the worldly view of what a pastor is, if they're going to call it that word, is skewed to what the Bible actually says. Because if we're going to use the word pastor, we have to use the word under the qualifications of an elder then, if that's what we're going to use. And I just like to get rid of the word altogether. Go ahead, Kyle. Go ahead, yeah.
The fact is, the word is absolutely not vital. It'd be exactly the same as me saying, I'm Kyle, I'm the cowboy of the church in Glendive. It means exactly the same thing as the word pastor. very old term, and I think it's put in there specifically for that reason.
Well, I mean, if you have a word pastor, you don't have qualifications. They obviously don't tie it. At least some congregations don't tie it to 1 Timothy 3 because you have a lot of women pastors, like Methodists or some Lutherans or whatever congregations. And I use the word term pastor because it applies to the context here. But if you have that word, like you're saying there, there's no qualifications for it, no standards for it, so it can be a woman. You know, you can't say that the woman can't be a pastor then if there's nothing written about it. It is a dumb reason, yeah. I mean, there's different ways you can tell them apart. Yeah, but, yeah. Jared, you have something?
Yeah, I think it's really important, like you're doing here, is to let God define the terms.
Right.
But the same logic we would apply to when we work through the proof of the Bible is the Word of God, mm-hmm. or God's plan of salvation. Let God define his
right.
terms, right? Not go with the outside world to find and apply these terms to these mm-hmm. Works that are being done, or the offices, if you will,
right.
of these things. You have to be a husband, you obviously, like you mentioned, you can't be a woman.
Right.
You know? You have to have kids.
Right.
I don't have kids. That'll happen to me, right?
Right.
Also, I think another one that you see more and more here is husband of one wife.
Right.
You find a lot of quote unquote pastors in the religious marketplace that have multiple wives.
Right.
But God defined his church.
Right. And there's all reasons for that. There's reasons for having children who are submissive to God in seriousness. You know, there's reasons for that. Because if I can't, like I talked to one guy that they wanted him to be an elder, and at least he had the sense to decline it. But his wife didn't even go to that congregation. And so he's like, how am I supposed to start telling people to come here if I can't even my own wife come here? You know, I mean, some of that principle there is that, I mean, if you're having a problem with that, then that's there's a reason that God has those terms there. Yes, Jacob.
We kind of went over this a little recently, the office of eldership or the work that goes along with it.
Yeah.
One of the points brought out was that those qualifications are every bit as much for the protection of the person in that office,
right. mm-hmm.
not to keep people out, because in that situation, if you're, you know,
right.
elder of a congregation, you are a shepherd.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. If it's something that if I'm not able to teach, if an elder's not able to teach, how can they help the person? You know, how are they supposed to help the person if they come to the problem? You know. Okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
How you view yourself and that driving that deep into you means a lot and can affect a lot of different things.
and if you go on like stuff like that, this is part of the reason why he gets at the end there about not a new convert. Because, and I remember myself when I was young in Christ, you there's time you take, but sometimes the older I'm getting, the less the better ways I can handle opposition, and also the more wisdom on how to handle that, but also not being ignorant or naive, I guess would be a better word, of when, because sometimes when you're young, you can be naive, well, because you want that person to be, you want agreement, and so you let things slide, you're naive about it, where someone who has been in the congregation a lot more, been a true Christian, who's been a Christian, and I shouldn't say true Christian, who's been a Christian, is wise in that, I'm not gonna let there's words that you pick up on, I'm not gonna let slide, because that's, that's what, that you start going down the rabbit hole, and then you start, then you're gonna fall in a lot more, and so that's why it can't be a new convert either. You have something else, Jared, there?
Mm-hmm. But, and I'm sure you brought this out with the previous, section of Ephesians 4, but mm-hmm. this quote-unquote list of qualifications, mm-hmm. This isn't reserved solely for the overseer,
right,
or the elder. This mm-hmm. actually is what we all should be doing.
Right. Another point there is that I shouldn't be going after these for the purpose of becoming an elder. I should be, like, for example, if you want to talk about children, I shouldn't be wanting my children to be Christians so that I can be an elder. I should be making sure my children are doing what's right, and then if the opportunity arises later, then that opportunity is there. But if you're putting the cart before the horse there, where the view is being an elder, and so I'm going to try and do these things now, where it should be, we should be doing these things, and then the opportunity for each individual, because there are guys who fit these qualifications, except for the one where they don't want to do it, okay? So just because they have believing children, they're able to teach, they're temperate, they're hospitable, respectable, free from love of money, not a new convert, one who manages children well, but they don't desire to do it, then obviously that's a qualification that they have to have there. They have to want to do it. It's not begrudgingly. It's not like, well, I guess I've been a deacon for a while, and I guess I got to move on to the elder now. That's kind of a begrudgingly deal. That's not what it's talking about there. You got something to add there?
I'm just going to say that, just to look at the danger of this deal, that I think the problem is every time I want to study with somebody from another congregation, just without exception, they always say, well, I want to go out, ask my pastor,
right,
if this is right or wrong. Well, so what we've done in the religious world is we put the guy up there. He's
right,
our go-between between us and God.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when my father-in-law was, he preached for a long time, and the paper would come to him when he done a funeral or something, and they put it in the paper. They would do reverend, they call him reverend, and that was just a step down. The pastor's just the same kind of a deal. He was mm-hmm. They were just more bolder, saying Reverend Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was no more reverend than the guy sitting in the pew.
Right.
They should have been the same.
Right.
And so that's what the religious world has done. This guy is a guy that, because you don't tell dirty jokes around this pastor or this reverend guy, because he's
okay.
Here. That isn't how it's supposed to be. You can tell a dirty joke over here, but you can't tell around him. And so,
right.
So it just puts somebody in a different plane, I think. And so that's the trouble with what we've done. And, the pastor is the guy that knows everything about the scriptures. And
right.
If you want to ask somebody about the scriptures, you got to go to the pastor, because that's
right.
he knows more than everybody else. And I just about every time I studied, I think every time I studied with somebody, when you get to to some tough deals, they go ask their pastor,
right,
because he knows more, and that,
right,
and that changes the idea, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's the danger, I think, the secular, sacred part of the whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the sanctuary being,
mm-hmm,
you know, I mean, it's the same deal, you know. So I think that's a danger, the danger of that whole deal. It's,
right,
it's somebody that's more important than somebody else, or more reverent, more holy than some, than,
right,
than everybody else. You know?
Right.
So that's really the bad part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah,
to clarify, he did not use that term. That was the world's term.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
No,
he
would say, he got him to take it out of there. That's what he said. I don't. So every time he lived there, it took him a couple, 3 years to get the paper from, to quit printing the deal. And I remember when mom died, I think it was, when we had Raleigh come and preach, and the guy wanted to put Pastor Hutton in there. I said, well, he hasn't been pasteurized yet, so,
yeah,
so he's just a normal guy. So, so
yeah,
you know, basically that's,
right,
and they were kind of taken back by it, but
right,
I said, don't put it in there.
Yeah, and you're taken back because that's
yeah,
the norm.
Yeah,
that's
the
norm to call.
Basically,
yeah.
So,
it's been something
so
that's not even.
It's tried to be somebody better than some, you know,
right,
they got him on a higher playing field than anybody else, and that's what the religious world has done, is they made this guy be the authority, and so he can say whatever he wants, and
right,
it doesn't matter about scriptures. So.
Right. Yeah, it's come because of something little,
yeah,
some, a mistranslation or a misuse,
yeah,
of it. Yeah.
And they won't agree with the Catholic Church and their Pope and all that, but they,
yeah,
actually have a sick
time. Yeah, it's
from,
a trickle down.
It's just a,
yeah,
step down.
Yeah, the Catholics came from the false view of what the high priest was,
yeah,
and the priestlyhood, and the Jewish religion was. And so they basically do a lot of the same, the sprinkling of similar things, but they sprinkle the casket, they have their incense or whatever, and they have the priest blesses it, and that's how you can come take the Lord's Supper or communion, whatever they call it, Eucharist, whatever, and that's who can perform the baptisms and so on, because they're like a priestly form, and then the religious world has just trickled down something different from that, you know, it's just a different form of that. And so who does the baptisms? Well, the pastor does the baptisms, you know, the pastors who sets up the, like when they do their Lord's Supper or the communion once a month or once a quarter or whatever, he has the big sermon that he just has specifically for that time that they have, and then they take the Lord's Supper or communion after. I shouldn't call it Lord's Supper because it's not even that, but it's a trickle down, a little bit different form, trickle down deal, the same thing as the Catholics have. But, yes, Larry. Right.
The word pastor is in there, but what would the Greek or Hebrew translation be?
So it should just be shepherd. So it's used 18 times in the New Testament. 17 is translated shepherd, and one time is translated pastor. And so
in the back here, I looked up pastor,
mm-hmm,
and it said shepherd.
Okay, yeah. And you have some people who will go into that, but when you have... When the word should just be translated shepherd, it should be translated shepherd. But they don't use the word pastor correctly. Even if they're going to use the word pastor, then use it correctly. You know, use it as talking about an elder, but they don't use it.
They're using that term for a different...
Right.
A different word.
Work, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Right.
Else.
Yeah.
Going back, since I talked about pastor stuff,
right,
I was just going to talk about the qualifications that you're going through too. But for a long time, I always thought, you know, like qualifications were like this thing that guy is really done a lot of good stuff, you know, fitting all his qualifications. And I think some of that can kind of go back to a little bit of view
Right. Yeah.
And right. And so anyway, it's kind of changed my thought on what that looks like.
Right.
So
yeah, it should be the stand. I mean, it should be just like you say, at least that they should have.
Yeah.
But that's if you want to say the minimum. But that's, I mean, even though it's not minimum, that should be something that we have to get out of our heads that, well, this is something that only good guys can do.
Right.
Where it should be, all of us should be doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Right.
Right. So let's turn over to Titus chapter 1, and as we'll continue through some qualifications that Titus has here, we're going to understand that and see that one thing to point to make is these qualifications aren't pick and choose qualifications where, you know, you have, well, this guy is temperate, this guy is hospitable, he's able to teach, he's been married a few times, his kids aren't all, you know, maybe one of them's faithful out of 10, but I mean, so he can do that, and that's kind of, I know that is kind of an extreme example again, like Jared was using this morning, but that's kind of the people pick and choose the qualifications. Well, he meets some of the qualifications, even to the fact, well, he's got 80% of them, so that should be pretty good, you know. Well, there's 20% of the people he can't help then either, you know. And you can, the other thing, and this is where someone doesn't start doing the work of an elder as soon as they get the office, if you want to say that, as soon as they're appointed an elder. They're doing the work of an elder prior to that. So there is work being done, so the work has to still be done, and people have to fill it. And I would say that Paul, in case in times, filled that role. He wasn't an elder, but he did some of that work. Even probably Timothy or Titus had to do a little bit of that work, but they weren't elders. And so the excuse to say that, well, we need these guys because it's not getting done is also a bad excuse too. Because the work should be getting done prior to the people being qualified and have enough people qualified, even though it's not all done all the time. But the excuse of saying, well, at least if we got this guy that's 80% qualified, then we at least get 80% of the work done, that's a flawed excuse too. So that's not, the work should be getting done prior to, and what's needed to be done, what can be done, should be getting done prior to that, prior to having enough qualified elders in a congregation. So in Titus chapter 1, 5 through 9, I want to read that, please.
For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I direct you. Namely, if any man is above reproach, husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion, for the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not found of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict.
Okay, so there's a couple overlap qualifications, if you will. And there's above reproach is the first one. Husband and one wife is the next. Children who believe is the third, right away in Titus there. And so you think that that would be a little bit important. That's kind of an important reason for that. Now this would also mean, This is not just hitting someone who's been married multiple times. It's hitting someone who's not married too, if you will. I shouldn't say hitting someone, but it's because there is an important need for one strong Christian wife for an elder. There's an important need for that guy to have a wife for a purpose. There's a reason that God has that in there, because the situation that an elder is going to have to be in, a lot of times he might have to take his wife along. Because there's going to be some situations that even like if there's a marriage falling apart someone, it'd probably be pretty unwise for that guy to go alone if he's going to go meet with the wife of the marriage that's failing. That'd be really unwise. So it's probably pretty important that his wife is it has a lot of these same characteristics here that is helping him along with that. So there's a reason that God has, and like you brought up, Jacob, that is protecting someone, protecting the person in the office, if you will, they're doing the work. It's not just someone who it's not just a reason to keep people out, it's protecting the person. You got something there. Yeah, and so then it references believing children there as well. So again, that talks a little bit about the you know, Timothy talks about children who are submissive to God in seriousness. You know, someone who's, they're proven. And what Timothy says, if a guy can't manage his own household, how's he gonna shepherd the church of God? And the reason for that is if he turned his own kids against himself because how he acted, he's gonna do the same thing to the congregation. If he's not able to help his own kids, and I guess they have their own choices too, but as teachers of children, we have a responsibility to teach them correctly, teach them in a great way that we're not making the decision for them, but to give them the tools that when they make the decision, that's why it's older children. Because even if, and this is also another thing too, another false view of this would be is that if somebody, this picture is not, well, okay, this guy's 50 years old, we'll just say, husband and wife, and his last kid just got immersed, you know, and now he's qualified to be an elder, which I'm not necessarily saying he's not, but the picture that it's given here is children who are faithful. And it's just more than, it's faithful is more than just coming up out of the water after they're immersed, okay? And so there's a reason that the children are faithful is because they've had the right tools and foundation that's been given to them as they were growing up, that they made their own decision and their own conscious effort, serious effort to follow Christ versus just what their parents said. Because that will come out, whether they have their parents' faith or whether they have their own faith. And so that's what that picture is. It's not just, this isn't somebody who when you have respect and can, if you want to say, manage your household well, you have managed it well that they are succeeding. It's not because you're sitting here puppeteering them. They're succeeding because they're making their own conscious effort for that. You're not quick-tempered. Again, not addicted to wine or pugnacious. Not fond of sort of game, but hospitable. Again, it talks. And it doesn't say the words, it says able to exhort in sound doctrine. It doesn't say the words able to teach, but in accordance with the teaching, able to exhort in sound doctrine. And in verse 9, holding fast the faithful word. Okay, so it's all based upon the word there, upon them being able to teach, because they are going to refute those who contradict, is what he's saying there. And if we continue on just in the next couple of verses, he says, for there are many rebellious men, empty talkers, deceivers, especially of those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they're upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. So they're teaching things. So this goes back to the temperate or vigilant effort of the elder that is going out and attacking. He's not just this guy that he's sitting up on the chair and people come to him with their problems and he has this few quick witty phrases that fixes all the problems. It's the guy who, because he has to see that, because he can see, recognize that, that's a problem. And the sheep of the congregation, if you will, the younger people in the congregation don't recognize that, but he does. And he's dealing with the problem. He's attacking the problem. He has to be able to refute those who contradict. Exhort in sound doctrine, because there's a lot of rebellious, empty talkers they're not allowed to go because they're disrupting the whole family. They're disrupting the congregation. People are following them to their own destruction, and that's why he's got to be vigilant and aware. So are they, I should say, vigilant and aware so they can deal with that. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. And so the work of an overseer or an elder is not easy or fun. It might be rewarding. And I mean, when you talk about rewarding, it's not always just easy or fun, but there's rewarding work or efforts because they're going, doing the work, it's rewarding, but it's not easy and fun. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, please. Okay, so this is something that's not quite always taught in the religious marketplace, but you talk about the elders ruling well, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. So we referenced before that the elders should be able to teach. There can be an elder who is even an elder who is an evangelist. Okay, if we want to use that work again too, because there are evangelists and elders. Because as we talked about evangelists last week, it's not the guy who goes around from town to town and fills stadiums. Because the evangelist has some of that responsibility. If you want a percentage on it, it's probably going to be pretty relatively small. The rest of the responsibility of an evangelist is to the local congregation. We'll get into that the next few weeks here in Ephesians 4, because that's who these are given to. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, elders, and teachers are for the equipping of the saints, it says in Ephesians 4. It's for the purpose of the church. Now, so the elder can be preaching and teaching. Yeah, so they should be teaching. Just because they don't stand up in the front doesn't mean they're not teaching either. But they should be teaching. And they could be a guy who preaches every week or teaches the class every week. And they are, let them rule well because they're worthy of honor. And another thing that's not always talked about is an elder should be supported. A good elder could be supported. The idea of paying an elder is pretty foreign. Paying elders, I should say, again, plural, is pretty foreign in the religious world, except if you want to call it pastor, because then there's the one guy, then that guy gets paid or whatever. But that's kind of the deal. So the idea of paying an elder is foreign. But why wouldn't we support someone to be able to do more? Why wouldn't we free up a guy that had a talent to be able to do what an elder needs to do? You know, so that's something that obviously you can to keep in our minds when we're talking about the work of an elder. The work of an elder is not fun, it's not easy, it's rewarding, but they should be able to preach and teach, to refute those who contradict. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Now again, an evangelist is also one who will preach and teach as well. Teacher is also one that can preach and teach as well, but the elder also should be able to do that. In Hebrews 13, verse 17. Okay, so a little bit of a mistranslation, and I'm not sure why. Again, I think a lot of mistranslations we have is because of people that aren't, that they don't have the correct understanding. And so when we talked about this a few weeks ago when we were going through this, obey your leaders, submit to them, and Brandon talked about when you look at the word to them there, when you look at in the Greek, that word to them is not there. So when he's saying obey your leaders and submit, well, what he's talking about is submitting to God there, kind of similar to what we talked about the elders in 1 Timothy 3, who have children who are submissive in seriousness. They're not submissive under the thumb of their dad. They're submissive to God in seriousness. And if you look at, for they keep watch over your souls, verse 17, and the phrase, as those who give an account, actually is poorly translated, and it should be translated, as with the word which restores. So it should say, obey your leaders and submit, for they keep watch over your souls as with the word which restores. So the elder or the leader is able to teach, able to refute or exhort in sound doctrine, and is able to go about that through the word that restores. Because this picture given here is kind of like on Judgment Day, you have your elders, and they're like, well, Kirk was, we really tried with Kirk, and he was pretty faithful, but he had some, that's not what it's going to be like. They're not going to be given an account for you on Judgment Day. And that's not what the Greek says either, if you translate correctly. They are ones who are watching over your souls with the word that restores. They're watching over it with the scripture. In the shadow or under on the basis of what the scripture says to help teach and exhort and refute, if necessary, with the word. That's what they're saying there. And so that's part of the elder, and that, again, that's part of the work of the elder to do that. They're not leaders for authority, even though elders have authority. They're not leaders for the purpose of authority. They're leaders for the purpose of helping the congregation make it to heaven on the basis of what the scripture says. Okay, that's where they get their authority. That's where they get their instruction. So when you talk about the elder, it's not because the elder, that's what the elder says. It's because that elder, a qualified elder, is going to use that information of the scripture to be able to guide someone. It's not what the elder says, what the scripture says. So back to 1 Peter chapter 5 again there. Go fast here. I know potluck's kind of getting, smelling pretty good there. 1 Peter chapter 5, looking at a little bit more of the work of an elder. And again, we're not going really in depth here. So, I mean, there's obviously more in depth that we're going to go, but or we could go. But for the basis, some broad points here that we're making on what an elder is, we're going to look at a few more things here. Go to me 1 through 3 again.
Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for a sort of gain, but for eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving the examples of the flock.
So the elders are examples of the flock. They're overseeing, and they're an example to them. It's not an authoritative position where that they just get to beat everyone over the head when they're doing something wrong. They're leading the flock. They're an example for the flock. And they're doing it through the basis of the scripture. Turn over to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. So the elders do have authority, and they should be respected. But they're doing that through example. They're leading through example. Acts 20, we read verse 28 already. We'll just read 28 through 31. Please.
Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on alert, remembering that that night and day for a period of 3 years, I do not cease to admonish each one with tears.
Okay. So, we mentioned before that the work of an elder is hard work. It's not fun, and it's not easy. It's hard work because they have to be able to battle the savage wolves, spiritually speaking. That's what they have to be able to do. Now, it doesn't mean because there's no elders in the congregation that there's no savage wolves to battle. I mean, there's definitely savage wolves to battle. But when you're talking about an elder and you're talking about someone that is going to have authority, multiple people again there, they have to be able to recognize the wolf when he's there. They have to be able to recognize that and deal with it. So the work isn't something, as we're seeing a little bit of the work there, the work isn't something to take lightly, and so it's really not something that someone should want to jump into. And it's not something that the world, how the world will use that and kind of distorts that. Well, you know, make sure you don't contradict people too much. Or don't be that contentious. You know, because that word will be thrown at an elder. That will be thrown at a qualified elder. Contentiousness will. Divisiveness or whatever will be thrown at that. But it's on the basis and in the context of the worldly perspective, because they don't want to do what's right. And so they're going to try and tear down the qualified elders just because they can't. And even though, and when it says being above reproach, does not mean that people won't try to tear them down. They're going to try and do things. I mean, you think that Jesus was above reproach? You think that Jesus was temperate? You think Jesus was hospitable? Was Jesus able to teach? Was Jesus gentle? Jesus was gentle. He was gentle. He was tough and contentious when he needed to be, but he was gentle because there's people that had to come to him. You have to be gentle and contentious. See, that's the deal there. It's not just gentle and it's not just the rod. Okay, so Jesus was gentle and hospitable, but he was ready to battle. And so that when you talk about that, you put all that there, you think that the Jews had nothing to take against him, but you think they still tried. So just because the elder is in that situation or fits those qualifications or has that character does not mean that people won't try and tear that down. And it does not mean that people won't try and discredit that person. But when we look at the elder again there, when you translate something incorrectly and you see where we're even having this study versus we're talking about elders and pastors and we're talking about the stuff, it's such a norm and a false view that the religious world has of what a pastor is because of what they've translated wrong, what they've used wrong. A pastor, if you want to use that word, is a shepherd or an elder, an overseer that has the qualifications, that has, there's reasons that God has that there for the purpose for them, but also for the congregation, because when we'll see in the next couple weeks or next few classes, they have a responsibility to equip the saints, as well as evangelists, as well as apostles, and as well as the prophets did as well, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. So it's important to, you know, it's kind of maybe sound like a soapbox a little bit, but it's important that we understand words do have meanings, and if it misses a little bit, then pretty soon you know however many years later it's going to be changed around and look pretty ugly. But anybody have any comments or anything? Yes.
I like what you said about the contention sometimes is necessary to help focus those who are ready to accept the truth. You know, like Jesus is a lion and a lamb. Mm-hmm. He is kind and gentle to those who were worthy and those who are liars, deceivers. He was a lion. He went into the den of and he basically rebuked them and he let them know that they were vipers and he'd basically go after them. Mm-hmm. And they killed him for it, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he earned their enmity, mm-hmm. is the term, by being righteous and truthful, brave, right. Courageous.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Okay, well, we'll get on, talk about teachers in the next class.